The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Mark 10, verses 2 to 16. And Pharisees came up, and in order to test him, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the very beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, you know, our gospel lesson today starts with Jesus addressing the issue of divorce and adultery. But then in verse 13, the focus changes, it seems. And Jesus, pointing to the children who were present that day, said something that seemed out of context. He said, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." It seems like Jesus switched gears there. Those comments about receiving the kingdom of God like a child, what do they have to do with his comment about divorce? This is important to understand. So let's take a few minutes to look at this. In the last couple verses of our Old Testament lesson from Genesis 2, it says this: "A man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." God created mankind in order to hold us in a relationship of love, his love for us and our love for him. And in expressing his love for us, God lavished good gifts upon us, including the beautiful world that we live in, and also the gift of making us male and female, with the potential of lifelong intimacy without shame. But of course, you know the story. Adam and Eve rebelled against God, insisting on having what God had prohibited, insisting on having what would harm them, the forbidden fruit. Adam tried to justify himself by blaming Eve. "This woman you gave me talked me into this." And what happened next was disastrous. Sometimes we call it the fall of mankind, or we say sin entered the world. However you describe it, things fell apart. And now we're all afflicted with this condition called sin. Every one of us. You know, some time ago, I was listening to Oregon Public Radio when I heard an interview with a news reporter who had covered the story of a 15-year-old girl charged with the attempted murder of her single mother in Los Angeles, California. The family struggled economically, and the daughter also struggled academically and socially. So it wasn't shocking when she started using drugs at a young age. And by the time she was 15, she had a full-blown addiction to meth and ecstasy and rock cocaine. And even at the age of 15, she financed her addiction through prostitution and theft. The relationship this girl had with her mother became more and more strained and reached a boiling point when the mother caught her daughter stealing from her purse. The mother gave her a stern warning, raising her voice in anger, and the daughter responded by grabbing the nearest frying pan and swinging it down on her mom's head, knocking her unconscious and opening a head wound that bled profusely. So the daughter ran next door and called 911, reporting that her mom had passed out. When the police arrived, the evidence pointed to something more than the mother passing out. The daughter was arrested and first charged with attempted murder, eventually reduced to aggravated assault. She was placed in a foster home for 6 months. The intention was to return her to her home at some point. And that's all she wanted. All she wanted was to go home and to be forgiven. She loved her mom, and she was afraid. One of the things she was afraid of was that her mom will never forgive her. In fact, she told the reporter numerous times, "I'm afraid my mom will never forgive me." She was right. In an interview for the story, the mother said, "I can't do any more for her," and reported that she'd signed a document requesting a hearing to terminate her parental rights, signed without shedding a tear. Of course, that mother believed that she was justified, and most of us would agree. How much does a person have to take? Few of us would quibble with her decision. You know, a similar situation is described in our gospel lesson today. Jesus was approached by the Pharisees asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" They were trying to justify their desire to terminate a relationship. Maybe some had cause to divorce their wives. Maybe not. And certainly sometimes there are legitimate and even necessary reasons to end a marriage. But the point here is they just weren't interested in doing what pleased God, nor were they interested in doing what was best for others. They were interested in doing what they wanted to do and then justifying it. All of us, we do the same thing. But here's the really striking thing. God treats us in a manner completely opposite of that. In Luke 15, the parable of the prodigal son, the father, who represents God, puts up with an outrageous demand from his son, who represents us. The demand is to give him his inheritance early. A slap in the face, a grievous insult to the father. But the father does it in the parable. And then after the son goes out into the world and squanders his considerable fortune on wine and prostitutes, he comes crawling back, full of remorse, laden with shame, and assuming his status as a son is lost forever, he comes back with a plan to ask if his father would accept him back as a hired servant rather than a son. But the father spots his wayward son while he is still far off down the road, and abandoning all decorum, he sprints toward his son, his eyes filled with tears of joy. His son is home. His son is home. And reaching his son, the father throws his arms around his son, crying with joy. The son attempts his rehearsed speech, requesting employment as a servant. But the son's words are drowned out by his father's words as he shouts commands. Put the family insignia ring on his hand. Bring him the best robe. Kill the fatted calf. We're feasting tonight. We're feasting. My son is home. He was dead, but now he's home, alive again. That father, representing God, didn't terminate the relationship, no matter what the son had done. You know, that reporter who wrote the story on the 15-year-old girl who was addicted to drugs and her single mother, the last time he saw the mother was in a courtroom at the actual hearing to determine whether or not her parental rights would be terminated. In addressing the mother, the judge repeated the questions several times. Do you want to terminate your parental rights? Yes. Do you understand what this means? Yes. Are you simply abandoning your responsibilities as a parent and relying on the state? At that last question, the mother broke down in tears and said she feared for her life. The judge softened his tone and emphasized that in forfeiting her parental rights, she would no longer have contact with her daughter, and the termination was irrevocable. She agreed and signed the final document. Justifiable, certainly. No one can blame her. But God treats us differently. He does not treat us as we deserve. He treats us so much better. He is compassionate. He's gentle. He's forgiving. Always, always forgiving. And here's why. You belong to Christ, who paid the penalty for your sin. And now when God looks at you, he sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus. God wants you to receive the gifts of the kingdom of God as a little child would, which means he wants you to approach him as a little child would approach a loving and forgiving parent. That means, as a child, you approach him without guile, without pretense, and without trying to justify yourself. It means recognizing your complete and total dependence on him and trusting him completely. Knowing that God will never, ever leave you or forsake you. He'll never terminate his relationship with you. He is with you today, and someday you will be with him in heaven forever. Your life and your future are in his hands, and he loves you. So you can be at peace right now. You can rest. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do not treat us as we deserve. We thank you that we have been forgiven for the sake of Jesus. And that when you look at us, despite our sin and filth, you see the righteousness of Christ. Lord, cause that truth to fill us with gratitude toward you and deep humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.